Well, Kristen, here we are, Friday of the final Harry Potter. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
And I can see the tears in your eyes right now,
Rafer. Can you see the tears in my eyes? Here's what I want to say. I think you may be sitting across from the only film critic who gave that movie a so-so, okay review. And I want to say that it's been really nice working with you, because judging by the hate mail that I have gotten, I am about to be assassinated.
You are about to have real tears in your eyes.
Yes. So if anything happens to me, I just want to say this was very enjoyable.
It's been a really good run. A nice year and a half.
It's been great.
Thank you so much, Rafer.
Harry Potter may just end it all for me.
And that's our movie date today.
And we were just on the show, on the takeaway, and I was hoping, coming in here, dragging my soggy self in here, having been beaten up by Harry Potter fans, thinking that I would find a compatriot in you, Kristen Meinzer. And no, you loved it.
All right. We're going to explain more about my feelings and your feelings after we introduce ourselves.
Okay.
This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
And as a very, very, very special feature this week, we have Jim Colgan back with us today.
Hooray,
Harry
Jim.
Potter super fan who was on our last podcast
dealing with
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. That was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Jim very kindly, during that movie, we went to both movies together, explained the difference between Voldemort and Dumbledore to me.
After I didn't realize the level of explanation that was going to be needed until you were nudging me and saying, why is Dumbledore so... I thought he was supposed to be evil.
This was after the credits were rolling, after 3 hours of sitting there trying to follow what was going on.
This is the end of the movie.
And then
I started telling you what a Horcrux was.
Yeah, so, I'm like, what's up with these necklaces?
Yeah.
Right.
Why are the necklaces so mad?
And why are they all so cranky all the time when they wear them?
Well, we brought Jim back onto the show with us today because we thought it was important for us to have a real Harry Potter fan on. Both of us, by our own admissions, are not what you'd call Harry Potter fans.
Right.
We watch the movies for the sake of seeing the movies as their own standalone pieces of art or culture or what have you. We don't go into the movies with our fandom flying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rafer may dispute the word art there, but
you know,
it's applied to Harry Potter. But.
You know, it's, I do want to say, though, that... you know, I have a great deal of respect for the Harry Potter movies. I really do. And they are, as I was saying in my review, which readers, you know, did not pick up on, that I really felt that it's really the movies, if you look at them as a whole, there is really no other film franchise, probably in modern memory.
Did you know that you can follow
that would
movie
hold
date
together
on Twitter
that
and Facebook?
Well,
that
where the quality of back on the podcast each film
and
is so consistent.
You want us to see
the
next.
Look, the
log
tone,
to
the feel,
to find
the
out
actors.
More. And
right.
Thanks so much for listening.
I mean, it's one seamless work. And even though I didn't particularly feel like this last episode was that, you know. It didn't have the feeling of it didn't move me, as Elvis would say. But I mean, but I think, you know, when you look at these things, you know, as one thing, they're really an impressive achievement. You know, I mean, not James Bond, not the Star Trek films, not the Pink Panther films, not the Planet of the Apes films.
Did you say
there's
Pink Panther?
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, any long running franchise that has gone on for this long has never maintained this kind of quality and this kind of consistent feel. And I think that's an incredible thing.
Especially for someone who's not a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah, right.
Now, I'm presuming, Jim, you think they're all great, right?
Of course I do. And that's the whole thing. I knew even before this movie that I was going to love it, you know? And that's the problem here. I have no sense of objectivity at all. I am an unabashed fan. I can't really bring a level of criticism here because I'm just too, you know, in love with these movies and the books and everything. And that's why I'm not even... I, if I read reviews of these films, it's just to sort of see how the critics are responding. It has no bearing on whether or not I want to see the movie
or
whether or not I'm going to agree with them. So it's just, it's reached that level. And I think it's because of everything you say, the consistency and the characters and just, you know, everything that's come before. And you know it's not going to be that much different from what's already worked so well.
Right.
So I went into this movie just, you know, actually very sad because I knew it was going to be for the last time, you know? So I know I really want to just go back to the beginning and watch them all again.
Wow, Jim. I have to say, I went in not sad, but actually kind of relieved, like, this is the last time I have to see a Harry Potter film.
Because you're clearly not a fan!
But, yes, that is true. But that being said, I was totally with Jim the whole time during the movie. More so, Jim says he didn't cry. I was bawling for like a good 10 minutes towards the end
of
the movie.
Were you really? Now tell me,
so
what part got you?
You know, that kind of Les Miserables section towards the end when, oh God, I don't want to give spoilers.
Well, no, okay.
I'm going to give spoilers, but there's this moment where Harry is, you know, wondering where have his dead relatives and mentors been his whole life as he's facing this really tough time. Mm-hmm. And he thinks, God, why weren't you here with me? And they say, we were here all along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay,
and then, of course, like, oh, God, Harry Potter.
And they point at his heart.
They do, just like in E.T., which is another movie that you're too heartless to appreciate, Rafer. I don't know what's
you
wrong
like
with
E.T.?
You sometimes.
Oh, my God, Rafer.
I know. I'm sorry. Or Wizard of Oz, just to throw it out there.
Oh my God, this is going all downhill.
Can I say one thing? And I did not mention this in my review, but this, and again, I'm going to try to phrase this so as not to spoil anything. But the central moment in the film in which the prophecy of Harry Potter's fate is fulfilled seems to me a cheat. Am I right about that, or am I wrong about that?
You mean what happens kind of right after?
Oh, I concur.
Yes.
I totally.
Have you read the books?
No, I have not.
I have to say, if there was anything I was disappointed in, it was that moment and that sort of stretch of the movie.
Right.
I think they actually could have lingered, if anywhere in the movie, they could have lingered in that part more than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they had a bias towards, you know, the action scenes.
Of course.
The ones that used all the special effects and everything. But that scene, and even the part that you're talking about that is so, poignant, Kristen, I think could have been longer.
Yeah.
You know? And it could, because it had the potential to be very moving, and it was very moving, but especially that part, I don't think it would have felt like it was a convenient, you know, plot point if they had of given it the similar treatment as they did in the book. But that's kind of hard to do in a movie where you're trying to keep everyone's attention, especially in 3D.
I suppose that's true. I guess that was just sort of my problem with the film, is I felt that for every very strong moment, and there were some, for every strong moment, it was followed by this, by something that kind of weakened the film to me.
Like dumb action?
Well, the dumb action I was actually kind of happy with. I mean, I thought the war scenes, the assault on Hogwarts, I thought those were all actually pretty stirring and very fun and fun to watch.
I think they were
well done.
I shouldn't say it was dumb action. I would say that I always feel that if you have to trim anywhere, trim the action so you can have more poignancy.
Yeah, but you are not a Hollywood.
That's what I say. You are also a girl.
I just love to cry, and during those action sequences, there's nothing to cry over. I just love to cry.
I like to see people get killed. me personally. That's just me personally.
I like to see statues come to life and start attacking giants.
There you go. And some of that stuff I thought was really imaginative and fun. And I'm not an expert Harry Potter fan, but am I right in saying that they introduced one last new spell in this,
the
Geminio curse
Rafer,
at the beginning?
Wow!
Wait,
have we seen that before? When the trinkets multiply?
Oh no! You mean was it in the books?
No. Has it been in any of the previous movies?
Not that I'm.
There you
sure
go.
It has not.
I think that's right. And so I remember thinking when I saw these little things pop out. I remember thinking, wow, okay, that's cool. Here we are. It's the last Harry Potter movie, and we're still learning
still
new spells.
Magic.
That's cool,
more
right?
Magic.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
And those kinds of details, I think, are what is so great about those movies. But again, to me, like, and you know, maybe I'm hung up on the wrong things here. That's very possible. But the structurally, I felt that this movie was pretty weak, and weaker even to me than the first Harry Potter.
Do you like having fun? Just in life.
I do.
I
swear
to you. These movies are all about. They're so much fun. But yeah, you know, and once you sort of buy into the fun part, then you have all the poignant part and the and you know, the action parts, they all kind of work, you know? That's a
Yep.
So I know there is a certain amount of, you know, turning off some of your intellectual I don't know, you know, how you criticize it. But I think when you do that, you really get a lot of value, and you see how everyone else in the world, you know, gets the same sort of value. But I have to stress that although I'm saying I'm a fan and you have lost all sense of objectivity, I'm not a crazy fan. I've never dressed up as any of the characters.
Just for the record. You're a level-headed fan.
Yeah.
He doesn't play Quidditch. No.
I don't play
Quidditch. Okay,
certainly not.
But I do want to ask you. I mean, did you feel like if you're at all able to, you know, kind of divorce the fan part of your brain from the rest of your brain? I mean, are you able to kind of say, like, to look at it a little objectively and say yes or no, this film was, you know, everything you expect it to be? And here's my other question. Would you say that this is actually the best of the series or not?
This film?
Yes.
No. I wouldn't say it was the best of the series.
Okay.
And can I remove the... can I be objective? I really don't think so. It's very hard.
But, a candid admission.
But I will have to say, you know, I could have been disappointed. And there's a really, really high bar for that because, you know, I have so much tolerance for it. I just want to enjoy more of the movies and the same experience that I've had in the other movies. But it could have been disappointed, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that, that would have been very hard for them to do, given that they sort of know how to do these movies and they've got everything working so well. Like you said, you know, I wouldn't call it a formula, but they kind of have it down, right? They
know how to
execute them. So,
for sure.
Yeah, so that would have been very hard. But yeah, I mean, and just that criticism, I would say, is that I wanted to linger in it a bit more. And I felt like I wasn't able to linger in it and almost escape into it as much as even part one, I would say.
That was, and again, not being a fan, part of my objection to the film was that it felt very rushed to me. I felt like there was a lot of exposition stuck in there, done very quickly. You know, I felt that there were these sort of long chunks of things being explained to you that were kind of a little head spinning and not totally clear. I mean, I remember without spoiling anything, there's one very, very lengthy, incredibly involved, and very central flashback that happens where much of what has happened in Harry's life is explained to him. And it takes, I don't know how long, and all I could think of was, again, Star Wars, and I'm not like a Star Wars nut, but I remember Star Wars.
You didn't dress up.
I definitely did not dress up. But I remember Star Wars, there's this, right? Luke, I'm your father. Bang. That's it. That was it.
You don't need the flashback.
That was a 2-second whopper of a reveal that just happens. It hits you like a ton of bricks. Yeah. There it is. And I remember thinking, like, where's that? Right? That just seems so much more powerful than this, like, 5-minute, you know,
you're saying
flashback.
Two things. You're saying a lot of it was rushed, but the parts that kind of reveal, they spent too much time on.
Well, I guess I just felt like they wanted to cover so much in such a short amount of time that they kind of tried to squeeze everything in, and it wound up being a lot of, so here's what happened, here's what used to happen, and blah, 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 and there was just, I just felt there was a lot of, they had a lot of explaining to do that they wound up not being able to do somehow to my mind, in a visual and entertaining way.
Unlike the part one, where there was all that beautiful cinematic, all that, you know, where they're sort of jumping from point to point.
Yes,
and it's just wide open spaces.
Any dialogue. It's just all these wide open spaces, and that's why I thought that they could split this up into two movies. Because remember, you asked me last time whether I thought it needed to be two movies, and I didn't think it did. Because I mean, this out of all the books, this isn't actually the biggest one. I mean, like, thickness wise. But I thought that's why they did that, is because they took such a cinematic approach and sort of let that breathe a lot. And, mm-hmm. and that wasn't really in this one.
No, this one, I almost felt like they could have taken parts of this one and put it in the last one, actually.
They would have
been
possible.
Better off.
That's possible.
Because the other one was so, it was almost like Brokeback Mountain. Harry Potter does Brokeback Mountain.
Yes, right.
But, without the big part of Brokeback Mountain.
Without that.
Just right. For people who don't know what Harry Potter, what happened right. in Harry Potter, that doesn't happen.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I just have to say, I disagree with both of you about something, though.
Okay.
I think of the whole Harry Potter series, this was by far the best.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But can I say, you haven't seen them all.
I've seen all but two of them. The first one was just unbearable. That Sorcerer's Stone one.
But also, I have to disclose, too, that I did explain a lot of the things for you before this movie, right?
That's true. You gave me a very nice tutorial.
I wonder if that helped.
Yeah,
I wonder if that helped.
I think you were equipped with the means to enjoy it. And I would be curious if you now went back to watch the earlier movies, if you would enjoy them more. And I would like you to do that.
All right, Jim. Well, I'll maybe do that. You know, I'm not going to do that, Rafer.
No,
all right, I'll totally do that, Jim. And I'll report back to you.
Why not? You got so much out of this last movie. You have the potential to get as much, if not more, out of the other ones now.
I love that language. I have the potential.
Yes, you have the potential.
You can do it.
All right, so the final word, obviously, from Jim, this is a good date, right?
This is a good date.
All right. Kristen?
I think it's a good date, too.
All right.
And Rafer, I think we know how you feel.
All I want to say is I think it's a perfectly good date. I just don't think it's like the greatest movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
No, whatever. You are getting up to go to the bathroom and then not coming back.
Rafer, it's so much more than just one movie. It's a movement. It's a world. It's true.
All right. Look, I am grudgingly saying this is a perfectly fine movie date. How's that for high praise? Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.